one king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consoleth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So that's another one of the kingdom parables on discipleship. I think it has more specifically to do with evangelism. However, discipleship includes that. So tonight I've entitled this little parable that it's on equally the unequal odds, yet there's peace. And so the singing of these hymns tonight have to do with not only, primarily peace inward, and this battle cry is has a reference to all of our problems and sins. 686. Now this next hymn, let's consider this matter of Christian. Dost thou see them inward and also outward? Dost thou see these things? It's 483. rest and have prayer. How good it is, our Father, to come to the throne of grace and mercy because Christ has made it possible, and that you do hear us. And so as we lay before you our petitions, we're asking that you look upon us tonight as we study your precious holy word, that we'll be so engaged in it, so helped by it, and so blessed, that you would speak to our hearts and that your will be accomplished. We pray that we might be good students, but not only students, but that we might be doers of the word. And that our Father, as you have blessed us with salvation through Jesus Christ, you've also given us the responsibility as ambassadors and as witnesses. We pray that we might be faithful. May the word help us and encourage us tonight to see our responsibilities. We also have the privilege, Lord, to pray for those that are in need. And I'm thinking presently of three fellows that need help. We would pray, Lord, for the youngest first. We pray for Nathaniel Waltz and his need presently as far as health, and that you look upon him. Not only meet his needs physically, but also that spiritually and mentally. And then we think of Scott Muthler, and as Lord, he needs to be encouraged. Wilt thou look upon him further? Wilt thou give him your very best? We pray for him. We pray for his salvation. We pray for his healing. We pray for his parents as they attend him, that they might not be discouraged. Wilt thou draw near and meet needs there? And then we would pray for Ken Knighton, as he is, and even called and said he would be not be in church because of his sickness. So we pray for Ken. We ask that you would help him once again in all the different manifestations and needs that he has. And then, Lord, we thank you for helping Judy Van Sant. We pray for further healing for her. Look upon us each, spirit, soul, and body, and that thy will be done. In the name of Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder if you'll sing with me, Conquering Now and Still to Conquer. Again, it has to do with battling. It's number 665 before we study the Word of God. Let's turn, please,
to Luke chapter 14, and primarily verses 31, 32, and 33. However, it's needful that we get the context of what this is all about. I therefore begin to read at verse 25 of our Lord on his way to Jerusalem, and quite a crowd
was following him, and he was actually calling them to follow him. And then on the way, he stops and he gives them more details of what it means to follow Lord Jesus. And guess what? It's up to date for us too. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able to, with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear, and may God's blessing be upon his holy and precious word. Now tonight I want us to look primarily at these three verses, having to do with such odds. And here there are two kings. The first king, he has 10,000 soldiers, and the second king has 20,000. That's 2-1. And in this dilemma, in verse 32, what he does, he says, I can't do it. It's just, it would be so bloody that I'll just do this. I'll send ambassadors and desire the conditions of peace. And I thought, boy, that is precious. And that, as far as I'm concerned, is evangelistic also. I need to remind you that that in this day in which we live, that, you know, the churches are the opposite of this. We're finding that folk are just the extreme norm of the opposite. They want conditions of, well, if they have their way. They want informal and kind of relaxed church services and entertaining and casual, great music and short messages and preaching of Christ and a decision. And dear friends, this is not what we're finding. Where we get these ideas, it's a, it just seems so contrary. You know, there was an old saying that keep it simple, stupid. And simplicity is really of our day. Hey, keep it simple. We want simplicity. We want easy. Don't give us hard things. Just keep it simple. And so I'm saying to you tonight, this, it's superficial in light of this passage. It really is. It's a delusion. It's non-saving the way we're going at things. I'm talking as far as the Bible churches and churches in general. And so we need to listen to this. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. And so as we've talked a little bit in the past here about these former verses, we have this business of relationships. And he said, you know, mother and father, wow. Hate? No, listen. That is to love less. It has the idea of that, listen, mom and dad and brothers and sisters and all this, they're great. We love them dearly. We're supposed to love them, honor them. But when the bottom line is, our Lord Jesus Christ is to be above them, supremely above them. And in comparison, they are to be loved less than the Lord Jesus. I love him more than anything else in this whole world. If you get that picture, you say, I'm a Christian. Well, do you love Jesus Christ supremely? Above the wife, the husband, the kids, the house, the everything. The possessions of verse 33. Likewise. So likewise, whosoever be he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, that's his possessions. He cannot be a disciple. Cannot be my disciple. And so you look at this and you say, wow, this is really something. And then when you read about the man, this person's going to build a tower. Now, that's not some little shack out here, chicken house. That tower in those days was probably a large tower that you could see around about and guarding the vineyard, and it also probably had storage of grain and so forth. It was a costly proposition. So don't get the idea that word tower there is just a little honky-tonk thing. And so it says, if you don't sit down and you don't calculate and you think about it, and I like to say pray about these matters, if you don't do that, and you said that, will you have enough to finish it? So unless you don't, he said, you have laid the foundation and not able to finish it. And what will the people, they'll laugh. Look at that. Hey, old Goofy. He thought he was going to build something. Look at it. That's all the further he got. Who's this? Well, that's Bill Robbins. You know him? Well, he screwed up. I can tell you that, because look at it. He didn't get it finished. Oh, no. I don't want this. But this business of the verse 31, I think that's applicable to us, dear friends. I really do. For I see in this king, and I think this represents the unbelievers. I think it also has the understanding for Christians also. And that is, what are we? We think that we have things well, pretty much under control. I have self-esteem. I am self-sufficient. I am smart. I have started and I have finished in a lot of things in this life, and I'm not a nobody, I'm a somebody. All right, somebody, we're going to talk about you a bit. What about you? You're kind of like a king, aren't you? Yes, I am. And what are you going to do? Oh, it says you're going to make a war against another king? Really now? I don't understand this. Is there anything that's against people today? Isn't the world against us? Is the flesh? Is the devil? Are they strong upon us? Are we living in such a way that God is our friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. But if we're not doing right, are you sure that he's our friend? If you're doing it your way. For it says, you're like a king. Hadn't you better sit down and think about these things a little bit? Yeah. And let me take consultation. For in the counsel of many there's wisdom. And you consulteth whether you be able with 10,000 to meet another king that comes against you with 20,000. Now this is a dilemma. It's known. He said they're coming. And I see the problems ahead. I see a lot of problems. And here they're coming. And as some of us are getting old, we have problems. One of these days we're going to meet the Maker. And we got to say, now, are we ready? How are we all in this situation? Have we pretty well run our own life? And this is what we have come up to? Any problems here at all for us? He said, listen, you'd better just sit down and do some calculation if you think that you hadn't need to do that. And he says, there's 20,000 coming. That's 2 to 1. Think you can handle this? Handle what? Well, anything that can come into your life. Circumstances, death, sickness, whatever, and losing family. We're in Job, and all the things that happened to Job, and finances and so forth. No, I got it all in control. Do you? Have you been reading the paper? Have you been listening to the news? Have you heard of people losing great sums of money who were doing very well? Take heed. there's a situation here that's involved. It says, you're in for some problems if you think you got everything under control. It said, verse 32, or else while the other is yet a great way off, they're coming. He sent an ambassage, which means ambassadors, and to desire a condition of peace. Conditions of peace. And I think that's good. You're having some folk that are ambassadors and to negotiate peace for you and help you. Outnumbered. And what am I going to do? How am I going to face the circumstances in the future? How's it going to work out? Well, there are those who are ambassadors for Christ. And they can help you negotiate peace. They can tell you how you can get peace. And can pray. And actually teach you very well how you need to sit down and think about some things. You might learn something. Some people are not very teachable. Hey, I don't need anybody to tell me. I know John 3:16. That's all I need to know. Well, friend, if you're that attitude, you're a king. And can't tell you anything. But I'm going to tell you something. The day ahead is coming. You wish you had taken counsel. Because of the forces of the elements, even themselves, and the enemy and the world all come upon you. You had better say, I had better take some counsel about some things. I better listen up a little bit. And that's what this man did. He knew he couldn't win. And I think of the Lord God as the great king. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so if I stand here and say, hey, I got some things, I know some things, I'm no dummy, and I know what some things, and I'm pretty smart about some things, and what I need to go begging to God for some things, I just know how to do it myself. He said, I'm the great king, and I'm coming. I'm sending my death angels too in the future. I wonder if you got it all down right. I wonder if you really are prepared. Hadn't it be better that you talk to the ambassadors? Hadn't it be better that you would sit down and do a little thinking? Christians are doing a little thinking. Lost people are due to thinking. Sometimes we get the idea, hey, don't bother me. I don't have time to think about those things. I got other things. You know, it's so easy to see the glitter. I take a look at verse 33, and I'm telling you, possessions. So likewise, whosoever be he be of you that forsaketh all that he hath, that's possession, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Lord, what are you saying there? He said, I know how it is. That green stuff and that gold stuff, that's powerful attraction. And if that's all you're thinking about, how you can do that, you can't be my disciple. Well, you mean to tell me that Christians ought to be like monks, go up in a mountain and stay away from the world? Just, you know, don't get involved in the world. You mean to tell me, preacher, that you can't make some money? Are you preaching poverty? I'm not doing such thing at all. I am telling you, though, there is a deeper aspect here. That when you put your trust in the Lord, he said, now you're mine. I had the thought some years ago, a fellow by the name of Don Hill, we did a little business together. He said, hey, why don't you come up to Matorzal Airport with your family and take some rides in my airplane? I said, hey, Don, that would be nice. He said, when can you do it? I said, well, what about Saturday? He said, yeah, come on up. And so I know Don's a pretty smart fellow, but I don't know his track record as far as piloting the plane, but he said, it won't cost you anything. I'm just glad to do it. Give your family an opportunity to fly. And so we did. We went up there. I want to tell you something. It was free, yes. But I want to tell you something. I placed my life in his hands. Yeah. There's things free. Jesus Christ has paid the price. Salvation is free. But when you receive the Lord Jesus and turn from your sins and trust him, he says, now you are mine. You belong to me. And some people don't understand that. What? You are now my servant. And actually the word is doulos. It means slave. I paid for you. Everything you have, verse 33, is mine. Oh, come on. He said, that's exactly right. Look at it. That's mine. You're mine. Totally mine. Completely from the top of the head to the bottom of your feet. And all that you have, your house, your home, your car, your wife, your kids, the whole thing is mine. Well, I didn't know becoming a Christian involved in such thing like that. I thought it was kind of like a, well, decorations. I have a life, and things are so-so. And somebody says, what you need is Jesus. And I said, well, yeah, maybe that's a pretty good idea. Yes, sir, you need Jesus. And so he gives me a spiel. He said, now he was God in the flesh. He came down this earth. He lived here 3 years, or 33 years. And then he went to the cross. He died in your place. They buried him. He rose again. And he ascended to heaven. He's making intercession for you. That's a glorious gospel. I say, oh, yeah. Okay, now what you need to do is ask this Jesus to come into your heart. Turn from your ways and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And you have it made. But you didn't give the full story. You didn't say, now, when you come to be a Christian, everything, all you have is his. Lock, stock, and barrel. No, no, no. I didn't give Jesus everything. Well, then verse 33. Cut it out of your Bible. You're going to meet him one of these days, the King of Kings. And he said, you know, you did hear my requirements. These people were excited as he was traveling to Jerusalem to be crucified. And they got excited. They got food and they got healing. And he would say, follow me. Come follow me. And they said, hey, man, maybe this is what we need to do. I got excited. And then he stops and he talks to them like this about relationships. You got to love me more than all your relatives. You got to love me more than all your possessions. You know what? Did you know that everybody forsook him? Yeah, they did. The bottom line, they did. So if you think you got it made, just because you said a little prayer, and you know about the gospel. What about these requirements for discipleship in following the Lord Jesus? Have you left him take over? So let him take over. That's right. This king, verse 31, that's representative of a lost person. And the great king is the one with 20,000. Yep. And so he sees him away far off, great way off. And he says, you know, I need some help. I can't win this. I just know that it's no use of me trying to battle that one. It'll be superficial. But I'll take my chances. People are like that. I'll take my chances. Well, this man was apparently smart enough that he said, I got to have some peace. Instead of going out and fighting and have blood all over the place and people killed and so forth, he said, I'll just send an ambassadors and see whether they can delegate and work something out for conditions of peace. Smart man. Smart man. In the council of many, there's wisdom or there's safety. See, I better make plans for the future. And so he did. And I'm glad he did. And he got what? Peace. Wonderful to have peace. Look at it. Desireth conditions of peace. He would desire to have peace. Now, he probably had to throw his weapons down. You know, when you surrender, you got to throw your weapons down. I surrender all. Did you surrender all? Well, you not only throw your weapons down, but there is a, you know, I'm sorry I caused you this discomfort. I'm sorry, and confess your guilt. And as sinners, we do the same thing. We throw down our weapon and say, I'm through. I can see the point that it's a pointless. I've been taught educationally in the public schools that I can do anything I want to do and be anything I want to be. And I'm number one. Don't you understand? He said, No. You're going to find out that that's not true according to the scriptures. And not only that, he says, I have done wrong by disturbing you, king. One king talking to their sinners, they think they're king. They don't need God. What do I need God for? I'm self-sufficient. But he's committing the matter here of surrender, and he said, I want mercy. I need mercy. I need peace. And I know that there's I'm going to have all kinds of problems. I'm going to lose everything, perhaps. But that's what the Lord says. You need to be in a place that you surrender and willing to say it's all His. It's all Jesus or nothing. Really, that's what it's saying. Not a nice thing about it. The bottom line is a peace that passes understanding. There's the mercy and the genuineness. And the Lord is gracious, good to us. He said, I'm not going to take everything you have. I'll let you be a steward, a manager. And that's precious, isn't it? So I'll let you just go ahead and you manage it. What? You manage the house. You mean my house? Yes. You take care of the house. All right. Now, how about my mate? Well, you take care of your mate. Be kind and so forth, loving and so forth. That's you do that. As my slave, my steward, my servant, you take care of what I've told you to do. Say, okay, boss, that's the way it's going. You say, it isn't that. It is that. That's exactly what he's saying to all of us. He's saying that to the lost. If you don't tell a lost person that he needs to surrender and that he needs to know this king, the King of Kings, and the one that in the bottom line is you're going to meet face to face at the judgment, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just say, well, it's Jesus, and when you have a little prayer now, I talk to you about the gospel, let's have a little prayer. That's not going to do it. It'll bring about delusion. And it's superficial. And to me, it's scary. Maybe you're not scared. But if you lead somebody into something superficial or delusional in some kind of little thing that you have as far as something you've been taught, and that person doesn't really know the Lord. You know, the truth of the matter is these great evangelistic meetings and so forth, you say, well, Christ is preached. Yes. But you know, when they get them all kind of wound up and they get them ready to go, they'll walk. Why shouldn't I go forward? Why shouldn't I raise my hand? If I need to be saved, I don't want to go to hell. And so I go down there and have me say a little prayer and tell me I'm saved forever. I got to tell you, it doesn't last. You say, do you have that down? I've got that down. Only a small percentage of people really go on with the Lord. All those that walk forward. Can you actually document that? Yes, I can. And that's scary. Spend thousands and thousands of dollars. Hadn't it be better, one-on-one, understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, explain it, but also timeless, it is a free. But Christ paid for it all. And I want you to know, since He paid for it all, that He paid for your sins and He paid for you, and all is His if you come to Christ. Now, He's a gracious King. He could really work us over. And there may be times that we'll go through hard, deep waters, friends. But He said, I'll go with you. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And you say, that's comfort. Comfort of the Spirit of God. But He has a purpose. And I want to say this, that He enables. It's not going to be your smarts. It's not because you're such a good student that you'll be able to do this. No. Forget that. It's His enabling. It's by grace that we save through faith. It's not of ourselves. And He enables us. Enables what? Enables me to go on. I'm His. I'm His servant. And He owns me lock, stock, and ball, and all. And I am committed to Him, and I'm serving Him, and whatever He wants to do with me. But He's a good God. He's a good King. And He blesses us in so many ways. I want you to know this. If you don't count the cost, sit down. What's your big hurry? Sit down. Think this thing over. If you want to grab somebody by the collar and say, now, you can say, now's the day of salvation. That's fine. But don't go much further than that. Don't do the work of the Spirit of God. And you know, because it could be something that maybe he said, oh, I started. Hey, I did what the preacher told me to do. I did everything he told me to do. But if it's not, if it's only superficial, I'm not going to finish. And people are going to say, hey, I remember him. He went to Sunday school. He was a deacon and so on. He was a preacher. Now look at him. And they'll laugh. What a bunch of hypocrites Christians are. Hypocrites. That's what they are. And they talk that way. Better not have part of it. And it ends in humility and shame. You say, what was so shameful? You know, verse 29, from an Oriental viewpoint, that word mock in verse 29 about building the tower and it wasn't able to finish it, that in the Oriental view, that is very humbling. Very, very humbling. That is, they say that is about the worst that you could probably go, and dumb as you could possibly be. To the Orientals. You want to be in that category spiritually? No, I don't want to be that way at all. And so you need to sit down and you reflect about this whole matter and see whether you understand it. You see, we need to die to self. And that's hard to do. But the Lord is everything. He is all. And we need to relinquish everything according to verse 33. And I don't believe this generation understands that. You see, God, this one in verse 32, he is a friend. Now he's your friend. Wonderful. And you know, there are people who say fundamentalism is escapism. The Roman Catholic Church used to say about our singing, it's sentimental. And a lot of singing is sentimental. And they have justified by singing some of the singing we have today. But this matter of verse 33, we did talk about the rich man, the rich young ruler. Remember him in Luke 18? He was doing very fine. But he had one problem. What was it? It was his riches. He couldn't give it up. And he walked away. As far as I know, he never was saved. Wonderful child. Most of the church would die to have a man like that around. Wonderful. It's all or nothing, is what the Lord is saying in these kingdom parables. It's an unconditional surrender to the Lord Jesus. Say, well, I think I have. No, you do not have anything to say if you're a Christian. It's Him. Unconditional. You just say, well, Lord, all right, I see verse 33. And that stands for now, doesn't it? Yeah. All right, Lord, I guess I'll just put it right to you. I'll just say goodbye. You're going to say goodbye? What are you going to say goodbye to? All my possessions. He said, fine, that's what I want you to do. He says, is he going to take it all? You're not normally doing that. But he said, I want you to be responsible and take care of it. See, it all belongs to Him. You know, this worldliness, this covetousness, this selfishness, this self-sufficiency that we kind of think that we are. He said, I want you to be wholly devoted to me. I am to be your all in all. I tell you, friends, if you're going to take the Lord Jesus at what His word is, you need to understand this. You say, well, that's not quite the way I understand it. I'd like us to turn to the 18th chapter. We're close there. Let me read a couple of verses to you in the 18th chapter of Luke. And look at verse 24 and 25 with me. Luke 18. And Jesus saw, you know this, I'm talking about this rich young ruler. Verse 24 and 25. To just remember and have you think about it. And Jesus saw that he was very thoughtful. He said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You say, well, that doesn't mean me. It doesn't. Where do you get the idea it doesn't mean you? See, if you judge the whole world, you know, by yourself, you are a very rich man. And so that's applicable. And he said to the rich young ruler, verse 22, now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And here's where Christians are going to have a problem. For we have this idea, you know, this is, I've made my money, and why do you need to talk about it? I'm talking what the Lord Jesus said about discipleship. And when Jesus, verse 24, saw that he was very sorrowful, what did he say about the rich young ruler? And those of us who think that we have, it's all in our control, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. There's a Hebraism. Now, there are those who say, well, there was an entrance to the Jerusalem city, a little gate, and no camel could get through that. Hardly could get through that. But you can take it literally as a needle's eye. It's a Hebraism. So you can't do that. That's right. Did you get it? Did you get it? He said, well, then, verse 6, it said, listen, Lord, when they heard it, he said, well, who can be saved? You made it so hard. Who's ever going to be saved? And he said, I'll tell you who. And he said, the things which are impossible with God, with man, are possible with God. That's the kind of God the Bible speaks about. I don't know what kind of God you understand. Maybe he's the man upstairs yet. I'll tell you, belongings prevent a lot of people from really being all-out committed Christians. And they said they're Christians, they go to church, and they give some money to church, and they're fine people, and as our brother said this morning, they look like and smell like and everything else as far as a Christian. But if they haven't seen this passage, these kingdom parables, and followed them, they won't find real lasting peace. They're destined for trouble, fighting against a king that is 2-1. And that's a picnic compared to what is ahead if you're going to go your way and not the way of the Lord. And so you go to war with God and you'll lose. And you do what God says and you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. They are tough words. I understand it. But there's a peace that is offered through his ambassadors. And I think that some of us need to realize afresh. You say, well, I'm a Christian. That's fine. Do you know what 2 Corinthians 5 is for you? You say, I'm all right. I love the Lord and I try to please him everything I do. All right, fine. How are you making out with 2 Corinthians 5? Well, I don't know what you mean. Well, we get so stuck in this world that we forget the passage in 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 19 starting. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now watch this. How you doing? How you doing? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Wow, I tell you, that is something. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Are you telling the story? That's a good way to determine whether we really know the Lord. And so, saying to the rebels, Luke 14, 31, 32, 33, it's applicable to rebels, and you tell them the whole story, and you say, now listen, all your self-righteousness and your self-sufficiency and all that you've taught about self-esteem and all that you say you've done yourself, he said, I want to tell you something. that if you don't swear allegiance to the King of Kings, the great King, God Himself, I'm going to tell you it's going to be awful. It's going to be a terrible day for you in the future. Sinners have to be told these things. And we need to hear these things. But it's wonderful to have the Lord and to have take His terms of surrender and peace, and say, "Yes, sir. Lord, I know that salvation is free, but I also know it's a complete life that's given to you." Wow. I wonder if you understand it. Perhaps the hymn that we have, 491, perhaps that hymn would help us to understand that Jesus calls us. The matter of the kingdom parables, maybe 491 would help us to understand it more. Father, we pray that the word might be impressed upon us to the very depths of our being, and that we might take these words and that we might consider them and think about them. Yes, even to sit down and think about them and see whether we understand, to see whether we are really the Lord Jesus, that we are really Christ ones. And so, our Father, we pray that we might see and know the blessedness of knowing Christ. And also, Father, that we might have this desire to please Him who did so much for us and is still doing for us. And He's coming back. And when He comes back, there'll be the matter of the judgment. Help us to be faithful to those of our families and friends and neighbors. We'll talk to them about the Lord Jesus. And also show them that they're facing a great King, and the consequences are going to be terrific if they don't surrender and come to know Christ. So bless us in our understanding, and may Your peace and Your understanding be with us. In the name of Christ, amen. Please be seated. Perhaps you have some input on the subject of that we've looked at this evening, this business of being on equal odds, and yet there's peace, and precious peace through Christ. Perhaps you have some thoughts.
One thing I did pick up on, you said that all those who follow Christ forsook Him. Yeah.
They came back.
Okay. That's what I was
Yeah. So if we think that we've got it made, there's some days back that maybe ahead that put us through the rope, so to speak. I don't want that. Nobody wants it. No, please. Lord, look upon us with favor. Some people, some Christians, don't have many problems at all. But God knows us, doesn't he? He knows all about us. And he said, I need some help in this aspect, and so there's so-and-so. I think I'll use him. It may cost your life, but he's going to be with us. Help us.
The surrender business reminded me of another hymn where it says, I surrender all. It's not in our green book, but it is in the red book.
Yep. There are those who teach that as a condition of salvation. In a sense, they do it. But we need the enabling of the Lord to do all these things, friends. The salvation is of God. He empowers us. So I'm not promoting tonight that this is of the flesh. I didn't promote that it's of the flesh. It's enabling of the Lord. All that I really have said this evening in the passage.
In a practical way, you think, for instance, like your paycheck, you turn it over to the Lord, and he's so wonderful, he takes just 10% and then lets us use the other 90%.
But there may be times where you said, now listen, I need this, and he may speak to you and say, give it up. And if you listen, some of these biographies over here, you'll find out some of the saints of the past, they did tremendous things. You say, I can't believe that. Gave his whole farm for the cause. Well, God speaks. Boy, it's amazing how God can speak to you by your conscience. Not by a verbal voice, but just impress it upon you and say, it's God. You say, you can argue all you want to, but it's so real. God's spoken to me. It's not that I had some kind of fit of some sort, but like Paul, boy, did he speak to old Saul who became Paul? That's the way God operates. Now,
there was some place it did say about in the, I was trying to locate it, but I can't find it, that after Jesus talked to them about many, many things, and really the doctors of grace, it said they walked no more with him. There was that group that walked no more with him. They walked no more. And whether that was this crowd, I don't know.
Didn't walk anymore with him. And he went to Calvary alone. I'm going to ask you personally if you could find time to drop Scott Muthler a card or a letter. I think it would be very good. We're going to put up a few more addresses, too. I hope you can work it out. The prisoners. I tell you, a letter means so much, or a card. It just means so much. If people don't write to them, and to get some communication. Like the one man said, I hadn't had a visitor for 2 years. No communication for 2 years. So I hope you will consider sending a card to Scott. The address is there. Don't forget, it's Friday night when we're having our pizza fest to meet Gaynor, Sarah Polly, on Friday, 6 o'clock.
How are we going to do that? Is there a meeting? Are we having a meeting? Are we... Will I have tables already set up?
I imagine. We'll just sit around, have a little devotion and singing. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was asked that. How are we going to do that?
Maybe like the old Wednesday night, you know what I mean, set the tables up, something like that, or even like we do our happy congratulations.
Yeah.
The table set up that way, maybe.
If we get an overflow, we'll have to make provisions, I guess.
That's right. But we can do that.
Yeah. We've had already situations where there wasn't enough of food and we went and got some. Isn't that nice? We went and got some, didn't we? Was it an occasion?
Yeah, that was a funeral we had. A lot more people kept coming and coming.
We can do that too if we have to. All right. The Lord's blessing be upon you.